My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. He's also now the top Republican on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. He is concerned about a number of issues related to U.S. energy policy and also especially concerned about two Obama nominees to key positions, namely Gina McCarthy, who's the president's choice to head the EPA, and Thomas Perez, who Mr. Obama has tapped to lead the Department of Labor. But we first want to get Senator Vitter's comments as it relates to energy policy from the man the president would like to be the next Secretary of Energy, and that's Ernest Moniz. And in a recent interview, Mr. Moniz talked about how he'd like to see the charges for carbon-based energy changed in order to change the way Americans view energy.
Ultimately, it has to be cheaper to capture and store it than to release it and pay a price. If we start really squeezing down on carbon dioxide over the next few decades, well, that could double. It could eventually triple.
Doubling or tripling current energy costs. Senator, what's your reaction to that?
Well, unfortunately, that's a continuation of the basic position of the Obama administration. If you remember, the last energy secretary, Secretary Chu, had a similar comment right before he was appointed. He said the big problem in this country is gasoline prices weren't as high as they are in Europe, and they needed to be. I don't think American consumers, particularly in this really weak economy, appreciate hearing that. And all of the above energy strategy should not be all of the above only by putting the price of carbon-based fuels through the roof and really hurting the middle class.
His argument essentially is that if we make it less profitable for businesses to do things the way they currently do it, it'll expedite the push towards greener, more renewable fuels. Based on your knowledge of where those industries are, is that an even valid alternative for our energy needs right now?
It isn't if you care about the middle class. It isn't if you care about people's standard of living. But because what he's talking about is putting energy prices through the roof at the gas pump as well as electricity for our homes. So that would really harm the middle class.
Do you get the sense there's widespread support for this policy? Obviously, if the previous energy secretary and the incoming energy secretary most likely have this position, it would make sense that that's the president's policy, and he's stated that himself in the past. But do you get the sense up on Capitol Hill that that's also a common Democratic position across the board?
Well, it's not a common position at Capitol Hill in general, and it's certainly not in the heartland of America. The problem is it is common in the Obama administration, and that's the threat. That's why I've been very out front and aggressive trying to battle any notion of a carbon tax, because that is the ultimate goal of this president.
We've seen this president, especially through the EPA, get a lot of things implemented in terms of regulation that he couldn't get done legislatively. Is this one of those things?
Yes. I mean, in general, of course, the president failed completely in his first term to pass any sort of cap and trade program. So what they've done since then, and since the 2010 takeover by the Republican House, is to shift to administrative action, go into administrative overdrive, if you will, like at EPA, often, in my opinion, going beyond their proper authority.
We're talking with Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter, and as mentioned at the outset, there are a couple of nominees that he's particularly worried about that the president's put forward in this second term. One is at the Environmental Protection Agency, and that is Gina McCarthy, who would be replacing Lisa Jackson, who resigned right around the time of the president's reelection. She left in an ethical cloud, given the email scandals, an account under a fictitious name for advancing policy and so forth. What about Gina McCarthy concerns you to the point where her nomination and her appointment to this position might be a big mistake for this country?
Well, we're going to have a hearing of the Gina McCarthy nomination next week, and so that'll be a significant opportunity to ask her a lot of important questions. For me, a lot of those questions will revolve around the complete lack of openness and transparency at the EPA. You mentioned this rampant email scandal. There have also been real abuses of the FOIA process, Freedom of Information Act requests. When those come from the public, I think there's been a concerted effort at EPA to frustrate the public getting valid information versus follow the law. So a lot of my questions will focus on openness and transparency. How is she going to change the abysmal record we've had so far with the Obama EPA?
What responses will you need to hear from her to be convinced that she'll address those major concerns?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure she hasn't used private or secret email accounts. I'll need, confirmation of that. I also want to see a complete new policy that she would institute at EPA with regard to emails, cracking down on private or secret email accounts, and also with regard to FOIA requests, so those are aggressively answered and the public can get valid information and it's not hidden by EPA.
You have recently been elevated to the position of being the top Republican on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, and with energy policy and the EPA regulation being advanced through this administration, there's plenty on your plate. What do you see as your top priorities over the next couple of years here?
Well, it really is to try to hold EPA's feet to the fire and demand openness and transparency. A lot of us are very concerned that they are colluding behind the scenes with far-left environmental groups, not sharing that with Congress and with the public, not being open about their goals and their policies. Another tool they seem to use on a regular basis is what's called sue and settle. Far-left environmental groups will sue them over environmental enforcement, and then they'll settle with these groups in a way that advances their left-leaning environmental agenda without the folks who are truly impacted, who pay the price of that overregulation, who have to live with these burdensome regulations, ever having any role in the process or ever having a day in court.
Other than shining the spotlight on it and putting it under the microscope, is there a lot that lawmakers can do to stop what the EPA has been doing the last few years?
Well, that's the main tool we have. I mean, President Obama won the election, so he gets to appoint the bureaucracy. The main tool we have is to shine the light of day on these activities, and also, of course, to demand that they live within the law and not go beyond their proper administrative authority, as I think they have in some instances.
Last topic, we mentioned Labor Secretary nominee Thomas Perez. Your concern about him stems not from energy issues or anything like that,
right,
but from his time at the Justice Department and what you believe was selective enforcement of voting rights laws. Explain
right
what your concern is there and how he needs to alleviate that if he wants to get your vote.
Yeah, his present job before he was nominated to become Labor Secretary was heading the Justice Department Civil Rights Division. It's a really important post, and I'm afraid in that post he really politicized enforcement of the Voting Rights Act. I think he went overboard with regard to suing some states, including Louisiana, and meanwhile virtually ignored another section of the Voting Rights Act with regard to cleaning up the voting rolls of people who are deceased or not valid voters. That selective enforcement really politicizing the whole process.
Do you get the sense that the president is on par giving you more radical nominees this time around, or is it just a couple here that have really raised your eyebrows?
No, I think overall his new slate of nominees since his reelection are even further left, even more radical than the first time around. You know, the first 4 years of his administration, he had some moderate nominees, particularly at Defense, for instance, Secretary Gates. This time, I think all of his nominees have really been far left, and I'm afraid that's a clear sign of the 3.5 years to come.
Well, Senator, we'll let you get back to your work. Thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter is the top Republican on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.